This is The Daily Refill, a project of Alatea.org. These are the stories you need to start your day.
I'm Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, the editor-in-chief of Alatea.org, and today I want to tell you about St. Francis Xavier. St. Francis Xavier became the patron saint of foreign missions. That's how exemplary, how impactful his missionary work was. He was a Jesuit priest who lived from 1506 to 1552. St. Francis Xavier was born in Spain. As a student in Paris, where he was studying philosophy, he became acquainted with St. Ignatius Loyola, the great founder of the Society of Jesus, which we commonly call the Jesuits. Isn't that funny how many religious orders have a technical name, but we know them by something else? Like the Order of Preachers, we call the Dominicans, or the Order of Franciscans Minor, we just call the Franciscans. Anyway, inspired by his friend Ignatius, Francis Xavier became one of the first members of the Society of Jesus, of the newly founded group that St. Ignatius established. St. Francis Xavier was ordained a priest in 1537, and he was among the very first to make his vows as a Jesuit. In 1541, he set sail for India. An incredible thing to think, like right at the beginning of the Jesuit enterprise, they were sending men abroad as missionaries. Francis' efforts to proclaim the gospel took him to India, Malaysia, islands off the coast of Indonesia, and even Sri Lanka. In each place, he converted large numbers to Christianity. In 1549, St. Francis Xavier traveled to Japan, where he established a flourishing Christian community. And after 2 years, he returned to India. In 1552, he decided to travel to China. On November 20th, he fell ill, falling prey to some fever of some kind, and died at sea. Francis Xavier was canonized with St. Ignatius Loyola in 1602. Along with St. Therese of Lisieux, he's honored as the patron saint of missionaries. In an incredible letter, a very inspiring letter, he wrote to St. Ignatius Loyola, St. Francis Xavier said, "I have not stopped since the day I arrived. I conscientiously made the rounds of the villages. I bathed in the sacred waters all the children who had not yet been baptized. This means that I have purified a very large number of children, so young that, as the saying goes, they could not tell their right hand from their left. The older children would not let me say my office or eat or sleep until I had taught them one prayer or another. Then I began to understand the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." It is estimated that Francis Xavier baptized some 30,000 people. St. Francis Xavier, great missionary, pray for us.
Coming up, we have news and an inspirational story. But if you'd like to read more about today's feast, reflect on the daily Mass readings, and learn new ways to pray, visit alatea.org, where you can also sign up for our newsletter. That's alatea.org.
Pope Francis has begun an apostolic visitation to Cyprus and Greece. The Pope's travel is just the second trip abroad he has taken since the onset of the coronavirus pandemic. These are the things to look for during the Holy Father's trip. He plans to meet with migrants and refugees. By choosing to return after 5 years to the island of Lesbos to meet with refugees, Pope Francis is showing his desire once again to shine the spotlight on the tragedies of immigration. The Holy Father is also going to focus on ecumenism during the trip. In Cyprus, as in Greece, the pontiff will meet with the heads of local acephalous churches. Francis will be the second pontiff in history to set foot on Cypriot soil, 11 years after the trip of Benedict XVI. The Holy Father will also be drawing attention to the political situation of Cyprus. Cardinal Pietro Parolin, the Pope's Secretary of State, has said, "The Cypriot problem can be resolved through sincere and loyal dialogue between the parties concerned, always taking into account the good of the whole island." Since 1974, the island has been split in two between the Republic of Cyprus, with an Orthodox majority in the south, and the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus, with a Muslim majority recognized only by Turkey. Pope Francis is not expected to address the issue from a political point of view, but he will express his solidarity with the population. The Holy Father will also address the larger situation in the Mediterranean. Pope Francis sees the Mediterranean as a basis of exchange, today strongly agitated by the migration issue. Last November, the Holy Father lamented those who crossed the Mediterranean Sea in search of prosperity, finding instead graves.
Stick around because we have an inspirational story to share. You can discover today's top Catholic news stories and rich, insightful commentary composed by leading Catholic journalist at alatea.org. Or download the Alatea app to your smartphone or tablet. available on Apple and Android devices.
Advent is a beautiful season designed to be a special time of simple preparation for the great feast of Christmas. But sometimes we can overcomplicate things, especially when it comes to getting ready for the big day. It can be tempting to go over the top, decorating, celebrating, hosting dinners, gathering with friends, which can leave us feeling exhausted from everything we try to do. Our consumer culture often drives our Advent, leaving no room for more spiritual reflection. The church, instead, urges us to use Advent as a time for joyous simplicity. The Vatican's Directory on Popular Piety and the Liturgy writes, "Popular piety, because of its intuitive understanding of the Christian mystery, can contribute effectively to the conservation of many of the values of Advent, which are not infrequently threatened by the commercialization of Christmas and consumer superficiality." The Directory continues saying, "Popular piety perceives that it is impossible to celebrate the Lord's birth except in an atmosphere of sobriety and joyous simplicity of concern for the poor. The expectation of the Lord's birth makes us sensitive to the value of life and the duties to respect and defend it from conception. Popular piety intuitively understands that it is not possible to coherently celebrate the birth of Him who saves His people from their sins without some effort to overcome sins in one's own life. For that reason, I want to offer you today three simple words, three keys to preparation during the Advent season." So the first word is waiting. Advent is a time of waiting, waiting for the big day, waiting for the great feast of Christmas. It's a time of waiting in memory of the humble coming of the Lord in our mortal flesh. It's a time of waiting, of supplication for His final glorious coming. We are waiting for the last day, the second time when the Lord will come as the Lord of history, as the universal judge of all creation. Advent is also a time of conversion. It's a time of conversion and repentance. The liturgy during this time, during the season of Advent, often refers to this act of conversion, quoting the prophets, especially John the Baptist. He's the preeminent figure of Advent, calling us to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But Advent is also a season of hope, because Christ has come and will come again.
Visit Alatea for inspiring Catholic news, spirituality, and lifestyle content. Keep up to date with the latest stories by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To receive Alatea straight to your inbox each day, sign up for our daily newsletter by visiting Alatea, Aletea.org.
This show is a production of the Spoke Street Media Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, visit SpokeStreet.com.